spread the tidings from wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human walls allow. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lord, the great King of kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul, our full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the master's grace divine? That I, a child of hell, should in his image shine, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Sing till the echoes fly above the vaulted sky, and all the saints above to all below reply. In strains of endless love, the song that ne'er will die, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. Sorry. He's maybe seated. Praise the Lord. We have still some folks on holidays, Gary and the family and Samuel and the family, but we appreciate each one that's come tonight. I'm a trust that the Lord will bless each one that's come tonight. Praise God. We're going to pray and then we're going to have a dedication. Brother Simon and his wife, and they brought Micah and Sean, and name is Manasseh. And I like the Shauna singing when I was in Africa really much, you know. I'm not going to attempt to sing it, sister, tonight, but I used to sing a song, and Shauna I remember I thought I was really good at it. I thought I got really good at it. And I was preaching for God one Jacinda. And I got up and started singing it. And they were looking, they didn't know what I was singing. I realized I needed more practice. But it's that one, brother, you know, I'm going to search all over. The Kumara Kaita to Jesu. I searched all over. And nothing satisfied but Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. And I really like that song, Praise the Lord. But I thought I was good at it. But with the accent, they didn't know what I was talking about. But the heart was right. And you know, let's just pray. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. We just pray that the Holy Spirit will be in a room tonight, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'll sanctify this building, sanctify each one of us. Wash us with the washing of the water of the Word and cover us with your blood afresh, the blood of the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. We pray that every work of the devil will come to naught and that your name will be uplifted and glorified. And we ask for the hands raised in this room tonight. You know, every heart, every need, we thank you for how you've met needs. We pray you'll continue to meet needs. For the hands raised, meet every need. In Jesus' precious name. We pray for Matthew McKinstry's father-in-law tonight. We just ask you'll touch him, Lord, and continue to move on his life. And just let your hand be upon him, Derek Hines, in Jesus' precious name. We pray for those on holidays, Gary and the family and Samuel and the family. Bless them and give them traveling mercies wherever they're at and wherever they go. And just have your way, Lord, we pray. And bless all that's here tonight, every single one, from the youngest to the oldest. Speak to their hearts and have your way in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Simon and his wife and family to come. And Micah or Manasseh. Am I saying that right, Brother Manasseh?
Manasseh.
Praise God. God with us, who is like the Lord. Isn't that nice? Praise the Lord. You know, there's several things left in the church. One's communion, water baptism, and dedication, and feet washing as well. And we believe them things we ought to do as Christians, bringing the children to the Lord and dedicate and praise the Lord. You know, the last wee baby, I dedicated a wee baby in Africa for James. And that wee baby's almost 20 now. Believe it or not. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we dedicate Micah to you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your hand of mercy and grace will be upon him all his days. Cover him with your blood to have your angels protect over him. Bless Brother Simon's precious wife and daughter, the whole family, in Jesus' precious name. I plead your mercy and your precious blood over them and just pray, Lord, that you'll be with them all the days. Prosper them and be with them as I bless Micah and Manasseh in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brothers. Don't believe it. God bless you so much, sister. Praise the Lord. There's another dedication as well. Sister Lydia wants a dedication as well. There's another one. You know, I tell you, the time goes. I remember dedicating Lydia Kimberly, and we had the video of it. I'm not sure where it still is, but we used to have the video of it. And now they're having children dedicated. And that's how long the meetings are going, 30 years. And just thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. God is good, isn't he? Just a simple thought tonight. Justification without a cause. Justification without a cause. I want to read Romans 3, verse 23 to 24, and I won't keep you too long tonight. I appreciate each one that's come. Praise the Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own word. Though all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible is clear we're brought back to that glory which we lost through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory which man lost, Adam lost it. He lost it. And you know, he could never regain it from his own efforts, from his own works. He never could regain the thing he lost. And the Bible says that sin entered into the world by one man, and death passed upon all men. And man of his own efforts and his own works could never undo what was done. He never could do it of his own efforts or of his own works. The Lord Jesus Christ secured and brought back that which was lost through his redemptive death. So it was only through the redemptive death of Jesus Christ that we are brought back into standing with God, which originated from Adam, what he lost. So there's absolutely nothing in our own selves that could have done it. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ. We needed his redemption. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Amen. So it was only through the Lord Jesus Christ it became him to bring many sons to glory. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And verse 17 says, "For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I really want to set out over a few services the real importance of these. These are simple facts, but they're true. Because there's so much false teaching today that we're in such a place we could do it ourselves. We couldn't. We couldn't keep ourselves to next Sunday. If we were to try it in our own merits, we'd fail. It's the Lord that saved us. It's the Lord that keeps us. And it's the Lord that says it beside us faultless before the Father. How were we brought back to this glory which had been lost to us forever? So far as our worth was concerned, there's nothing of ourselves what could concern God that would bring it back. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how it came back. It was through the grace of God, justified freely. And this is my main word I want to work on, is justified. Justified freely. Justified. And I tell you, there's a lot in that word, justified. Praise God. Justified as though you never done it in the first place. It's going to only take you further with that thought tonight. And I've just seen something more with it recently, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. Because some people have a conception of it that's wrong. And they have limited it. But I'm going to undo that tonight. And I'll tell you, God's word's no limitations. Man fell short of the glory of God. We've read that here. So he was absolutely dead in his trespasses and sins. He was separated. He was far from God. He was evicted from the presence of God because of his sin. But in the same way God declared man to be a sinner, falling short of his glory, so God also declared him to be righteous through Christ. So just as sin entered into the world with one man, righteousness entered into the world with another man. And just as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And just as sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we can have justification tonight, justifying him freely by the grace through the redemptive work that's in Christ. Let me read it like this from Romans 3:24. "All are justified and made upright in the right standing with God freely and graciously by grace, his unmerited favor and mercy." So God, there's nothing in me or you that pleased God that God would say, "Right, that man done something that pleased me, I'll save him." That's nonsense. God doesn't work like that. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. So it's not as if we've done something to deserve it. We deserved hell. But he's given us heaven. That's what the Lord's done for us. Praise God. His unmerited favor and mercy through the depth of which was provided in Christ Jesus. And there's no time element on it. But people have put a time element on it. Let me share this thought. And I wrote these few thoughts out as I was studying through the day. We cannot think of justification in terms of lifespan and the lifespan of an individual. For example, if a young man gets saved at 20 years of age, he thinks, and he's taught in some places that God's justified him from all the sins from he was born till he was 20. That's not accurate. Now, a lot of people preach that, but that's not fully accurate. Justification's bigger than that. I'm going to tell you that right now. See, I believe the old style of preaching, that it's far bigger than that. It's not just from the day you were born until you were 20. And all of us could have a date when we accepted it. And it does do that, but it goes more than that. For example, from the birth age of 20, all sins removed. Now, that's just not right, because if it were true, many could use it as an excuse. People could say, well, I'll not get saved till I'm 60, because the Lord will justify me from I'm born till I'm 60. Now, I'm only showing you an example tonight. They could delay it, and they could use it as an excuse. But the Bible says, now is accept the time. It can't be delayed. When the Spirit of God moves a man or a woman, that's when they need to come. They put off Christ's love and the period. But the Bible teaches that justification happens to the man instantaneously. The Spirit of God moves you and you get saved and you get justified instantaneously. You don't decide on a certain date. When you're born or when you're 20, you don't decide on a certain date you're going to do it. It's the Spirit of God decides. It's the Spirit of God that moves you. See, we believe in this fellowship of predestination. We believe that we're foreknown by Him and we're predestinated by Him before the very foundation of the world, and we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We don't know who's going to come, but God does. But you see, this work is instantaneous and it covers the whole of our total existence, justification. Not from we're born to we're 20, or say we're saved at 30 or whatever age. It just doesn't cover that. It covers our whole existence as a person here on earth, justified for a whole existence. I want you to see this tonight. This is the truth. When a man is justified, he's accepted in the person and in the being of his flesh, past, present, and future, he's justified. His sins are gone. Your sins, your past, present, future are gone by the blood of Jesus Christ, because you're chosen in Him. You're justified. It's as though you never done it. That's what it means. As though you never done it. Isn't that something? Now, I want to just tell you this week's story, and I'm not going to be very long tonight. And I was reading about this preacher man, and God was showing him something about this justification. And he was staying in a house. And in the house he's staying, he's up studying in a room, he's a young student, Bible student, and he's staying in a house. This was many years ago in America. And there's a woman in the house where he was staying. It was like a lodging house, you know, like a boarding or B&B, we'd call it. And he was staying there. He was doing his studies and different things. And the woman in the house had a wee boy about 5. And the wee fella said, "Mommy, I want to go out front." And I can't remember the wee boy's name, but she said, "All right, we'll call him Jimmy." Now, it might have been Jimmy, but I'm calling him Jimmy tonight. I used to joke so much about Jimmy, and when my own son was born, he's called James. And now again, he gets Jimmy, because I just like it. J.D. But anyhow, wee Jimmy wanted to go out, and the mum says, "Right, you can play in the steps at the front door, but do not go past them steps. Do not go out that gate." And the fella that was up in the house says that he'd noticed coming in and out the gate, there was a big muddy puddle outside the gate, outside the house. But the wee boy was warned he was not allowed to go after them steps. So the fella says that he was watching out the window and he could see him, and he watched him for a bit, and he went on one step, and then he went on to the next step. Then he got half a step and he went down to the gate and come back up the step. And he never went past the gate for a long time. And he's playing away, and your fella says he sort of forgot about it after a while. He got back to reading and studying. And the next thing he heard, this squealing match. Jimmy had fell in the puddle of mud. And he was absolutely scared and plastered. And his mum heard him squealing, and she came running out. She came running out, and she got a hold of him. and she brought him round the back. And wee Jimmy was saying, "Mommy, please don't whip me. Please don't whip me." Because he knew that he'd done the opposite to what he was told. And his mom said, "Jimmy, I'm not going to whip you. I'm going to forgive you." And the preacher said it never stopped there. She forgave him of what he'd done. And she never gave him the punishment which he deserved. But you could have. She'd have been justified in doing it, wouldn't you? Spare the rod. You know, all the goats. But she didn't do it. She forgave him. And then she done something else. She took him in and she washed him. And she took all the dirty clothes off him. And she bathed him. And she gave him clean clothes. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we were condemned to hell. Every one of us were. We were condemned to hell. And we deserved hell. We didn't do what we're told. We've done the opposite of what we're told. But God not only justified us in the sense that he forgave us through the redemption in Christ, but he washed us in his blood and he made us clean and he clothed us with his righteousness. So that the Bible says that in Romans 4 that God does not impute to us our sin, but he imputes to us, and I call it the imputation of the righteousness of God. I've even preached on that phrase. God imputes to us his righteousness. And that means that God freely gives us his righteousness. We had none of our own. All our righteousness was as filthy rags. But the Lord's righteousness is now our righteousness when we accept him. And he gives it to us freely, without money, without price. And he not only says, "I forgive you," but he washes you and then he clothes you. Isn't that wonderful? And I tell you, that preacher saw that. And that way, Jimmy, and how the mom dealt with him. And then God spoke to him about it and showed him his own self, how that God deals with every one of us. That he doesn't just justify us in the sense that we're forgiven, but he cleanses us and he clothes us. And I'll tell you, his righteousness is with us, declared righteous. We know that a man is just not, like a forgiven criminal still suffering for the crime. Some people, you see, they think they're forgiven and they're still suffering for the crime. You have no longer any crime to suffer for. You're exonerated. Your sins are gone. Your sins are forgiven. The Bible says, "Thy sins of thy youth will I remember no more." God goes further again. He says, "Are cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness." No longer remembered against you anymore. And then you come on to Romans 8 verse 1. "For there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Amen. We're not but judged for sin, for we have none. He took them all. Hallelujah. And we're free tonight. And we're not like a criminal. You know, the criminal can be forgiven, but he's a past sentence sort of hanging over him all the time. You see, he's not just pardoned criminal, forgiven of the guilt and the penalty. There's much more to the text here. Listen to me. The sinner is justified. That is, he's forgiven, pardoned, and declared essentially righteous. That's what God's done with us. He's forgiven us. He's pardoned us. It's like the man Brother Branham talks about. Abraham Lincoln. And the man was under the death penalty. And they went to Abraham Lincoln. Some people thought the man was innocent. He was under the death penalty. And Abraham Lincoln had no paper. And he wrote it on a piece of paper that didn't look like much. And they took it to him. And the man never received it. He never received it. Lincoln wrote him a pardon, but he never received it. Brother Branham tells about it, if you look it up. He said he never received it because he looked at the condition of the paper it was on. But he failed to read the note on the paper. And the note on the paper said, "Pardon by Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States." And Abraham Lincoln had the power to pardon the man. And he wouldn't have died if he'd pardoned and he would have lived. But he never received the pardon note was written by the hand of Abraham Lincoln. But he looked at the paper that was wrote on. And a lot of people today say, "I wouldn't believe it. He preached it or somebody else preached it." But you need to quit looking at who preached it. And you need to look at the paper that it's wrote on. And it's wrote in the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. Amen. And it says you're pardoned when you believe. You're justified for redemption through Jesus Christ. You see this here, forgiven, pardoned. This is far greater than being declared innocent. God does not proclaim that the sinner's innocent. It would have been a wonderful, you know, fallen man has been restored to the position of Adam before the fall. Yet, how can, you know, look, think of the state man was in before the fall, and think of the state he's in before he gets saved. For the first parents were not able to maintain. You see, they couldn't do it. They couldn't maintain the charge God gave them. But when we are justified, we're lifted much higher than Adam. We're made higher than the angels. Listen to these statements I'm going to make tonight. We're made higher than the angels through Christ, who was made lower than the angels. He lowered himself lower than the angels. He condescended. He took upon him the form of a man and became obedient on the cross, so that us that was going to hell were lifted from that position and we were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of what Christ done on the cross. He lowered himself so low that we could get up, because we could never get up of our own selves. Let me read you some scriptures on the Hebrews 2:7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. That's the Lord Jesus. You see, I'm going to go even further tonight. We're made higher than the seraphims and cherubims. We're made higher than Lucifer was before he became Satan. Lucifer's lost. Do you realize tonight you're more precious to the Lord than he is? He's lost tonight. He's going to go into the lake of fire, which is a second death. God's going to destroy the devil one day. But you and me have eternal life because Jesus Christ has given us his life. We have eternal life. The prophet of God called it Zoe. It's a Greek word for it. That's the very life of God in us. And the very life of God's eternal life. And there's power in that very life. Amen? There's power in it. In that very life. That's the life of God dwelling in us. We're counted as one of Christ. And are given the position of sons with the Father. And are destined to share the government of the universe with a creature. Do you know that? We're going to share the government. We're going to sit with the Lord. You know what I mean? It's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. We can't fully comprehend it. Righteousness now belongs to the justified one, even as it belongs to God. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have escaped the corruption. We heard the other week, when the rapture takes place, when the second coming, when we go to meet the Lord, and we're going to be changed, there's not one thing you'll have to do about it. The Lord will just take you, and he'll change you. And you've already escaped the corruption, because his life's in you. Death's not in you. Death might be in the physical body, that if the Lord doesn't come, this physical body, this is just an old tent, we'll drop it off. But our soul's eternal because we're born again. And you know what 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord will ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have eternal life. The Lord's coming for his people. And whether we are alive when he comes or whether we physically went to the grave, we're still with the Lord. Because Paul says absent from the body and present with the Lord. Because we have his life in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says this. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The devil can never say that. He's lost. He's lost. But we can say we're new creatures. We haven't turned over a new leaf. We're born again. We're new creatures, Jesus Christ. We're not what we used to be. I know that I'm not the man that I once was. I know I'm not. God changed me. God transformed me from what I used to be. I no longer have the desires that I once have. I no longer want to chum with people that I once chum with. I no longer want to do the things that I once done because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Brother, you never make mistakes. I do. But the blood of Jesus lays there for me. And it cleanses me. Hallelujah. This does not mean that we're sinless, but it does mean that we have been declared righteous. Righteous. So really when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as sinful. He sees us as righteous because he's looking at the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now this means a sinner to look away from himself and look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the sinner must do. The sinner must stop looking at himself, and not only must the sinner stop looking at himself, he must stop looking at other people. On judgment day, God's never going to ask any sinner, what did you think of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? The Lord's going to say, what did you do with my son called Jesus? Just like he asked Pilate, Jesus or Barabbas, and they cried out, Barabbas. And a prophet of God said, when they cried out Barabbas, he says, they exalted Satan to the god of this evil age. And you know Satan is the god of this evil age. And he's going to be burned. He's an M coming to him. But he's small God. He's not the capital G, because there's only one real God. That's why he's a perverter. He is a perverter. But it's Jesus that transforms you. He transforms you. Praise God. I'm not saying for a moment that a man can believe and then do as he pleases. I'm not saying that. For we do believe in eternal security. We do not believe in eternal punishment. But I am saying the meaning of justification in the sight of the living God and in the light of revealed scripture truth. Let no man consider his feelings. Let him trust in the word of God and trust in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't consider your feelings. It's the same with healing. You can't consider what your flesh is telling you. You have to take it in faith and believe in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we're walking by tonight. You see, this wee word freely. This wee word's 9 times in the New Testament, freely. And it's in our opening text that I read tonight from Romans 3 and 24. Freely of all the charge takes place in our text. You see this word freely. By his grace. You're freely, freely justified by his grace. The word freely is found 9 times in the New Testament and revealed to man without price, without return, without cause. Freely. Freely means you've no price to pay for it. There's no cause that you please God to get it. See, some people, you see that man that our brother Brian mentioned, our brother Gary mentioned, he was doing a lot of good things. He was a Christian doing good things, but God condemned it all. You see, Brother Branham preached a tremendous sermon. No, people don't like to hear it, but I believe it's the truth. Doing God a service without it being the will of God. Now, if a man goes out to do God a service without it being the will of God, then he's not in God's will. He's doing a service to God that God never called him to do. And I believe there's people today and they're doing things that they never were called to do. You take women preachers, for instance, and I'm going to mention it tonight. Women preachers. They try and justify that they're called to preach. But the Bible says that suffer a woman not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That's the scripture. Now a woman can operate a gift. We know that Paul had 7 daughters and they all prophesied. We know that. Or Philip, sorry. And they all prophesied. So they can operate the gifts of the Spirit. But there's no such thing as a woman pastor. Don't tell me that nonsense. Now, I know a lot of people go for that rubbish, but I don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you one thing more. I travel with women preachers. And I mentioned the other week that the angel visited me in Czechoslovakia. And God knows I'm telling the truth. And he showed me to separate from women preachers. And he gave me the scriptures for it. Now, what are you going to do with that? What was I to do with that? When I come down and challenge them with the scriptures, they didn't like it. And I tell you, brother, they left me hand dry. And all the money was in the kitty. They took it with them. And they never left me a penny. And one of them was even going to punch me in the mouth. She even tried it. Absolutely took over by another spirit. You see, the word separates. When you preach the true word of God, it separates. But you see what's wrong today? People don't want the true word. They want to compromise. And they mix in a wee bit of denominational truth and scripture truth. But I tell you, brothers, we don't need no denominational pottage. We need something that'll cure it. Amen? Amen. When Elijah came and he put the salt in it, it cured it. Hallelujah. I tell you, he cured the water. And you know, that prophet Elijah as well, the axe head swum. It can't do it, but it did it. How many knows that? That's the word of God. And you know, Joshua prayed in the moon, the sun's stead still, and they can prove that scientifically the dead happened. I tell you, God's able to do it. Amen. But you see, a lot of preachers, I've heard preachers mocking. Well, they don't believe in women preachers. One man recently, me and my wife's a witness, he said that I recognize what this great preacher said, and let the women preach, the Lord would already have come. Now that's an insult to scriptural intelligence, a statement of God. Let's be honest about it. And that's people that's leading churches. God never called women to be pastors. There's nowhere you read that Jesus picked out 12 women to be disciples. He picked men. Now they're sparsely chosen women he picked. We know that. But they can't be pastors and teachers. It's not scriptural. Amen. That's the truth. And you'd see some of what's going on today. And women today has lost all their morals. You know, the 12th parade, me and Sharon was down in Belfast, and they won't even win to it, but we saw it. They've lost their morals. Going about naked, and they're in an age, and they don't know they're naked. You know, again, a prophet of God predicted it. He said that women will come down to nakedness, and they won't even know it. And he says there's a spiritual type of the church that's going to happen, that the church will be naked. Then when you go over to Revelations, it says that the church is naked and doesn't know it. But there has to be a group of people that's clothed. And they're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we're really justified and sanctified, we're living clean in the Lord. Amen. We won't want to go about like the world. We're in the world, but we're not part of it. You know, the word of God says, an abomination for a woman to put any garment on that pertaineth to the man. But that's forgotten about today. That's forgotten about. It's not, no longer, I know, well, it's not popular to preach it. Look, I know how it works. If you go along with the flow, you'll get wee openings here, there, and everywhere. I know how it works, how it operates. And you can go through any denomination you want. Just, you won't even have to say much. You just mention the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're out. If you mention them baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, you're definitely out. Amen. If you mention you don't believe the Trinity has come out of the Pope of Rome's doctrine, 325 AD, when it was formed. It was never the early church's doctrine. It's man-made, man-formed. Amen. There's one person in the Godhead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's superior to a person. He's a spirit. And the Holy Ghost is a spirit. He can come through that wall, through the roof. He can go anywhere. A person's limited, but the Holy Ghost's not. And people talk about receiving. And you say a thing again and you'll offend people. Well, what are we going to do? Compromise or preach the truth? We're going to preach the truth anyhow. We have to. We have to preach the truth. The truth will make you free. But there is a group of people can receive it. You know, when I preached out in Africa, I tell you, there's thousands amened it. That's the truth. They believed it. They lived it. But I'll tell you, the world's in a condition. But that doesn't mean to say we have to copy the world. We want to stay with the Lord. And I tell you, Brother Larry said some wonderful things the last time he preached. You know, when he told about the women hugging men, the men hugging women that wasn't their husbands and wives. Brother Larry preached that, and I believe that was of the Lord. Because there's a lot of places today and all the dudes hug each other. And you don't know who you're hugging, and you don't know who's hugging you. You could be hugging some devil. That's the truth. Every man's not righteous and holy that can hug a sister and try to have no emotion. But everyone's not like that. There's devils in everywhere. And there's perversion everywhere. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When the real Holy Ghost moves and the real anointing moves, I don't care where it is, that demon will cry out. He will cry out. I've seen it. He'll scream out in terror. I've seen it. And where the proper anointing is. And I'll tell you one thing, you'll not cast them out if you're playing church. You'll have to have the real thing. Playing church won't work. Some denominational title won't work. What about when Brother Branham said that he went into the place and the chair, the table was up in the air. They were working witchcraft. And he said in the name of the Holy Church and the table kept on floating in the air. And he said in the name of the Trinity and the table kept on floating in the air. And then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, that table almost broke the four legs off it, come down so hard. And I tell you, I know from personal experience, in California, I've seen a man levitating, demon-possessed. And all them denominations couldn't cast that devil out of him. They laughed at them. And I was only a young man many years ago. And I said to the Lord, what am I going to do? And he says, do nothing. Just watch. And the Holy Spirit says, tomorrow I'll deliver him. That's the truth. And they were done all things with them. They read it, wee papers. They done all sorts of stuff. And they started praying prayers that I never heard in this Bible. I bind you in 1,000 chains and I demand 600 legions of angels to take you and put you out in the hard desert. Jesus never prayed like that. I never heard none of the prophets praying like that. But I heard Jesus saying, hold your peace and come out of him. I heard when the swine spoke, the man that had the legion of devils in the land of the Gadarenes, when he cried out, we know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Israel. Aren't thou come to torment us before the time? Jesus said, come out of him. And they said, suffer us to go on the swine. They said, suffer them. And they came out. You know, the first time T.L. Osborne went to one of William Branham's meetings, he said he was a fired up Pentecostal. And this person come up with a devil, and he said he was getting raved up, talking in tongues. He was ready to go into action. And William Branham said, come out of him in the name of Jesus. That was it over. That was it. He was waiting in some big wrestling match. When the real power of God's there, there's no wrestling. Sure, if it's wrestling, we're doing it. We don't need to do it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But there's a name that's far above every name. We took that name in water baptism. We took that name and we can invoke that name. It's the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in it. Amen. There's power in that name. I tell you, that man come in the house the next morning and they asked me to preach. I didn't even know about preaching. And I can tell you, God delivered him. And that's the truth. God set that man free. And there was no notes or no chains or no asking angels. Why would I go to second-hand authority when I can go straight to headquarters through the name of Jesus Christ, and I have open access for the veil is rent, and Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty in high, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And the word of God says there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And all that you do it in the name of the Lord. Isn't that the Bible? Amen. I've got off the subject, but praise God. You're glad you're saved tonight. Justified. Matthew, and I'm almost finished. Matthew 10 verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Here's this wee word. Freely. Freely. Ye have received, freely give. Freely. God freely give you the Holy Ghost. For we've been evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to them that is afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the Holy Ghost. And it's freely. Freely. And I tell you, like Paul's testimony, because when Paul got saved and he met with the Lord, the first thing that happened was he came into a place called Straight. He came out of crooked street into straight street. There's a lot of people trying to stay in straight, and they don't want to go into, or stay in crooked, they don't want to go into straight. But we want to come out of crooked street into straight street, and straight and narrow is the way, and few there be that find. It's not the truth. There's people tonight that don't want to come onto the straight and narrow way. They're on a broad road that leadeth to destruction. You know, I remember I preached a message, The Door and the Gate. I preached it over in Scotland many years back, preached in Australia. Every time I preached it, somewhere I've went, somebody's got saved. That's the truth. I believe the Lord gave me that message. There's a bit in that message, and I studied it. And you know what the Bible talks about? There's the gate in Jerusalem, and it's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven as it is for a camel to go through the needle. It's classed as a needle. How many knows that phrase? The eye of the needle. And the gate in Jerusalem is open slightly that an animal couldn't get out, but a man could slip between it. But he couldn't slip between it unless he's unloaded. Everything has to be stripped out before he can go in. And when we come to the Lord, we lay down everything. And the Lord takes us as we are. But we don't keep carrying it. We don't get in and keep carrying it. It's gone. The devil wants to remind you of your past. He wants to burden you with it. But the Lord says tonight, it's gone. I've freely given you my righteousness. Freely given it. It's no longer on you. Your past gone. It's wiped out in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Freely. No charge for it. It's free. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him drink that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. It's free tonight. I'm going to come to a close. Many more things than I could say. I tell you, this is not a reward. It's not a reward in the sense of a reward. Here's what Ephesians says, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you saved through faith, not of yourselves. A reward is something when you do good, your parents might reward you. But God's not giving you salvation like a reward because you were good or I was good. We weren't good. The Bible tells you there's none good, no, not one. There you are. So a man thinks I'll do good. And there's a lot of people today. We see people, their neighbors here, they pray around the graves. A lot of them do good things, but they're still lost. They're not saved. They're not born again. The Spirit of God's never entered them. The Spirit of God's never changed them. They're still dead in their sins. And then the trespasses, Jesus says, where I am, you can't come. That's a terrible thing, but it's true. It's not a reward. It's by the grace of God through faith. Not of yourselves. It's God's gift. God gives you a gift. You don't work for a gift. A gift, someone you give somebody. You don't give it to get a return back. You just give it to them. Because you love them. You give them it. Thank God for gifts. And gifts wonderful. Isn't it great when somebody gives you a gift? A gift. Romans 3:11. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. It's a gift. In closing the night, praise God. Aren't you glad for this justification? I'll tell you, you're in a stand tonight, brother. You don't need it. You don't need to worry about, I need to get prayed up. You need to look at what he's done for you. The Lord's done it for you. He's given you a name that's above every name. You have authority. Sister, you have authority tonight. Take charge over a few of them devils. Everything's going to bombard us. Everything's going to go against us. If I could say to somebody years ago, I'm claiming you for the Lord, what difference would there have been saying it tonight? None. God's not changed. He's the same. Say it and believe it. Act upon it. Claim your children. Claim them for the Lord. I tell you, they can run and they can do more. Look, they could look worse. But you're not looking at that. You're looking at the promises of God. Amen. Claim them under that token of God. The blood of Jesus Christ. Speak it over them. Claim them. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise the Lord. God bless you this evening. If anyone wants further prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord as we close our eyes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. All of us as children will want to see you saved. I have children. They came in, they walked for a while, but they're gone. Somebody says, nothing you can do about it. There is. I've often said that too. Nothing I can do about it. That was wrong. There's something I can do. Pray. I can pray. The Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray. Pray, sister. You can pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We bless you that you saved us by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. We thank you for that wonderful gift tonight. How we would love all of our children to have that gift. We claim every son and every daughter representative in this room tonight that's on hearts. Every relative, niece or nephew, husband or wife, we claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray the Holy Ghost will go to working on them in Jesus' precious name. Father, for the hands raised, grant whatever their prayer request is. Touch bodies tonight. Those that need a healing in the body, touch them and heal them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Father, just have your way in our lives, in our homes. Bless your people tonight. Bless those that's here and any that's had to work this evening or away on holidays. Bless them and be with them and meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as your brother Mark comes this evening. Next Sunday, two services, we're back to normal. Next Sunday, and I'll announce over between now and then. There's no service still on the Wednesday to Lent to next month. God bless each one.
Man, I think I've won. Jesus was slain for me. Amen.
Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish cried. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Pardoned is all my sin at Calvary. Cleansed is my heart within at Calvary. Now robes of gone are my grief and care. Christ bore my burdens there.